This is something that I always look forward to, and I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed us to be here today. That's right. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Brother Hendricks. Appreciate that. If you have your Bibles today and would like to read with me, I want to ask you to turn to the first chapter of the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, and I want to read this chapter today for my scripture reading. Ruth chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" She said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. That's reading the 22 verses that make up the first chapter of the book of Ruth. And I realize that in this chapter, and especially if you continue on in the book of Ruth, that there are many, there are many subjects that could be preached from this little short book of the book of Ruth. But what I want to share with you today, and what the Lord has placed upon my heart to share with you today, I want to use this for a title today, and that being Difficult Goodbyes. Difficult Goodbyes. And it seems that the daughters-in-law of Naomi were having a hard time parting with her. In fact, Ruth, to the point that she just would not part from her. And I know that bidding farewell, I know that saying goodbye is something that we often have to do in this life. Sometimes it's something that we may take up on our lips and say to someone in a very casual way. And then sometimes there are situations where it becomes much more serious. And when we part here today, after the service has come to an end, we may say one to another, "So long," or "See you later," or "See you next time," or "See you this evening," or whatever. And we may say that very casually. But there's something about that whenever that we, under any circumstances, whenever we bid someone farewell, whether or not we may think that we're just saying goodbye for a short time, we know that the truth is that the reality always exists, that when we say that casual goodbye to someone, that may be the last time on earth that we'll ever see that person. And certainly that, has happened throughout time. That has happened in a lot of situations where somebody thought, "Well, I never realized that, when I was telling that person goodbye at the end of the day," or whatever that it was, "I never realized that I wasn't going to see them anymore." And I believe there is something to be said to living our life as if it's living each day of our life as if it's going to be the last day. Certainly there can be advantages in living that way, because we never know if there's something that we need to get done and we want to procrastinate and put it off until another day. Certainly we don't know if, that other day is going to come and we'll have another opportunity to get done what we need to get done. And and I believe that it's especially true with when we're dealing with people. If we have something that we need to share with someone else, if we have something that we need to say to someone else, if there's something that you need to tell someone here today, then it would certainly be better to go ahead and tell that person what you need to tell them, because You don't know if you'll get another opportunity to say that to them. And I thought about it when Brother Lowe spoke this morning, and he said something today to the church that he felt like that he needed to say. And when we have situations like that, we need to take advantage of the opportunity that the Lord gives us, because we might not get to say it if we don't say it then. And so, but there are many situations in life under which it becomes necessary for us to bid someone farewell, to say goodbye to them. And here we see Orpah and Ruth had married the sons of Naomi, and Naomi's husband and both of her sons had passed away. And certainly death is something, you know, oftentimes that brings us to the point where we are forced to bid farewell to someone. But then there's always, you know, varying situations in life where, you know, people might move from one place to another because of something to do with a job or with the military or something of that nature, and one person has to relocate to another place, and maybe they have been around people that they're around for years and years, and then suddenly they have to move, and those times of having to bid farewell to that person, knowing that you're not going to see them you know, nearly as often, nearly as frequently as you were able to see them before that, certainly it can be very difficult. And that has challenged me in life. And have you not had times in your life when you've been challenged with that very thing and found yourself in a situation where it seems that it's difficult to say goodbye? It's difficult for me to let go. It's difficult for me to break these ties and let go of this person because I've been with them all this time and I've had fellowship with them and we've been able to be together. And those times can be hard sometimes. And as I said, it seems to me like that these two women, they obviously loved Naomi. And it seems to me like they were having a difficult time with this. When she told them, and I believe that certainly what she was saying was in their best interest, there's something about this that I've never really been able to quite figure out. I've never been able to really quite put my finger on it as to why Naomi would have told them to go back to their false gods. She said, you need to return now to your family and to, you know, to your people and to their gods and to your gods. And I've never really quite figured that out. But I do believe this, that what Naomi was telling them, that she felt like what she was telling them to do was going to be in their best interest. That she was trying to bid them goodbye because her sons that they had married had now passed from this life, and she had no more sons, you know, according to Jewish law and the way that that works. She had no more sons to give them to be husbands unto her. And she said, I'm too old to start another family, and even if I could, even if I weren't in this age situation, in this age condition, if I could, you know, because her husband had also died, and she said, if I could marry a husband tonight and have more sons, would you delay from getting married until those sons were grown? And, you know, then you could become their wives. And I believe that she was just trying to be realistic with them and looking out for their best interest and telling them that what you need to do now is that you need to depart from me. And you need to go back to your people. You need to go back to where you came from. And I don't believe that Naomi was doing that out of spite or hatred or anything. I believe certainly that she loved them as well. but she was, trying to make provision for them. Well, that didn't suit them very well. Neither one of them, liked that option. They wanted to stay with her. And we see that finally her daughter-in-law, Orpah, she did kiss her, and she did consent to leave her and return back to her own people. But that was obviously difficult, a difficult thing for her to do. We find a situation, I believe, that's similar to this with two men, two prophets, by the name of Elijah and Elisha. And I believe that Elisha certainly had great respect. I believe that Elijah was Elisha's mentor, and he had great respect for him. And the time came that Elijah knew that, God was going to call him. God was going to take him out of the world, and he was trying to part from Elisha. And he told Elisha, he said, "Tarry here, I pray thee. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." And he wanted to separate himself from Elisha, but Elisha wouldn't hear anything of it. He said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will go with you." And so they went together, and then Elijah told Elisha, he said, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And Elisha's response was the same. And they even, the sons of the prophets even came to Elisha and they said, "Do you not know that the Lord is going to call your master home today?" And he said, "Yes, I am aware of that." He did know that. But when Elijah told him that the Lord had sent him to Jericho, he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will go with you." And so they went together. And then finally Elijah told Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And they ended up going to Jordan together. And there at Jordan was where the Lord received Elijah, in the whirlwind and in the chariot of fire, where the Lord received Elijah back into heaven, and him, Elisha, and Elisha were parted there. And, he had asked Elisha, "What can I do for you?" You know, listen, we've got to leave, don't we? We've got to lay this life down. We've got to, folks. It's appointed unto us once to die, and after this, the judgment. And this life is something that we have to leave behind. And certainly those of us, as the age Christians, when we are facing that time, of course, we never know really when that's going to be. But when we realize that we are facing that time, then certainly we need to have an interest in those that we are going to be departing from. "What can I do for you?" That's what Elijah, I believe, wanted Elisha to tell him. "What is it that I can do for you before the Lord comes and calls and takes me away?" And Elisha's request was that a double portion of your spirit would fall upon me. And I believe that Elisha benefited from the life of Elijah, and he did leave a gift with him. And he told him, he said, "If you see me go, then it's going to be granted to you." And he did was allowed to witness that and to see that. And I believe that that double portion of the spirit of Elisha of Elijah did fall upon Elisha. And certainly we need to be concerned with what we're going to leave behind. Oftentimes we may take the attitude when we think about things, we may think, it's true that it may be that way, but I won't have to worry about it. I'm not going to be there to worry about it. And when it comes to the things of the Lord, we certainly don't need to feel that way about it. We need to have an interest, and I believe that we do have a vested interest in what will be happening after that we are gone, what will be happening among those that will follow us. And we certainly ought to be interested in the Lord's work after that we are gone. If you read the writings of the Apostle Peter, he was interested in that. He said, I want you to be able, after my decease, to be in remembrance of these things. And he wasn't, it wasn't his attitude to just close that book and say, well, you know, whatever happens won't matter to me because I'll be gone. We need to, as we mature in the Lord and as we get ready to leave, we need to be concerned with the younger Christians, the younger generation. What can we give to you? What can we do for you before that we go? And to you younger Christians, I want you to know that if you're asked that you need to seriously ponder that and pray about that. That's a very serious question. What Elijah was asking of Elisha was a very serious question. What can I do for you before it comes my time to go? And Elisha was determined, it seems, to stay with him and to cling to Elijah and to hold to him as long as he could. And certainly Ruth, and Orpah as well, but certainly Ruth was determined not to depart from Naomi, but to stay with her as long as she could. And she said, where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried, I will be also. And only death will part you and me. I remember this October 28th will mark 35 years ago that I took vows with my wife and said those very things. That I vowed to her that nothing but death would ever part us. And I thank the Lord that it hasn't. But death will, won't it? Death will sever those human ties. Death severs our human relationships. And we don't go into eternity as husband and wife. And father and son, those are relationships that we have in time. And they're severed when we die. And we have to tell each other goodbye. And it can be a very difficult thing to do. I'd be concerned about anybody that could live their life closely connected to someone and live their life after years of fellowship with that person and just be able to say goodbye like it made no difference at all to them. Something's wrong if that can happen because we love each other and we want to be together, and it's difficult to part and difficult to have to say goodbye to each other. The Apostle Paul, in the 20th chapter of Acts, he was getting ready to leave the church there at Ephesus. He had labored among them for about 3 years. He had established that work there. And he said in Acts chapter 20, he, beginning with verse 19, he had reminded them about, or verse 18, he said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now here we have a situation of a minister, a missionary, saying goodbye to these people that he had labored with. And I know a little bit about, how difficult that can be. Having done pastoral work, every time that I've left the church behind, every time that God has moved upon my heart and said it's time to go and I've left the church behind, it's always been a very difficult goodbye for me. It's always been very difficult for me to bid them farewell. Should the time come here, if I don't die, in the office of pastor here, should the time come one day when I would have to do that same thing here, I know that it will be very difficult, and I know that that's always a difficult situation. It always has been for me to say farewell like that. These people, they loved Paul, and the Bible tells us there at the end of that chapter that they all wept sore and they fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. And I thought about that in studying that. I thought about days gone by when I had to say to a church where I was pastoring that I would not be able to be with them any longer. And I thought, I've never had to face what Paul did. I've never had to stand before those people and say, listen, I've got to go and I'm never going to see you again. Paul, I believe he was convinced that he would not return to Ephesus. That he, his time, and he hadn't really been there that long. He had labored among them for about 3 years, but he seemed convinced that he wasn't going to see them anymore. I remember reading about, I don't know how many of you have read the book To the Golden Shore. I've shared it with some of you here. I remember reading in that about Adoniram Judson and the others that went with him that were the first Americans to go on foreign mission soil, and when they left, they left. I mean, this was in the early 1800s, and they couldn't fly back and forth across the ocean the way we can do now. When they left Boston Harbor there, they said goodbye to those people, never intending to see them again, never intending to return back. Now, Judson did many years later when he was an old man. He did finally come back to America for a visit, but when he left, his goodbye to them was permanent. He never intended to see their faces again. And that's life, isn't it? That's life for us in various situations. From time to time, we have to bid each other farewell. But what I really wanted to talk about most of all before I conclude this is, and what is the most sobering and the most serious to me in all of this is the time that is coming that we're told about in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, and that we're told about in the song that we often sing when we sing, there's a great day coming, There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Because there is coming a great and final separation. And right now, we have the opportunity, church, we have the opportunity before us to labor in the gospel. We have the opportunity before us to reach out to those that are lost and in their sins and to try to point them to Jesus Christ, who's able to take away their sins, who's able to save their soul and give them everlasting life. And I'll tell you what, it's been my experience in this life. I'll tell you, I had a very difficult time bidding farewell to the man that had raised me, to the man that was my earthly father and had worked so hard and had provided for me and had, seen to it that I was able to have clothes and shoes and go to school and have food and all the things that he did for me. I had a very difficult time when he passed from this life, saying goodbye to him. But it has always, to me, it has always seemed so much easier to say goodbye to somebody when you had reason for hope, when you had something to hold on to. I'm thankful for the testimony that he had. I'm thankful that he had been saved by the grace of God, because when I watched him take his last breath, I realized that the time would come when we would be able to be reunited and be together again and never have to separate anymore. But the Bible talks about that day when those that are saved will be separated from those that are lost. And listen, lost friend, that's going to be permanent. That's going to be a permanent separation. And there won't be anybody in eternity reaching out to you anymore. There won't be, the people of God won't be preaching the gospel to you anymore. They won't be talking to you anymore about your soul. They won't be urging you to come and seek the Lord. God will not be dealing with you anymore in that way. That will be a permanent goodbye. That will be an everlasting separation. The most difficult thing I've ever had to do is to stand, by the coffin of someone as it housed their earthly body, as they laid there cold and dead. And I had no reason to hope of ever seeing that person again. Death, for those who are saved, death is just a temporary separation. It's just temporary. But if you're here and you're lost, the Bible says the Son of Man is going to come one day in the clouds of heaven, in all his power and all his glory, and he's going to gather before him all nations, and he's going to be again to divide them as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, the saved and the lost. He's going to put the goats, the lost, on the left hand, and he's going to put the sheep or the saved on the right hand, and his words are going to be to his sheep, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And to those on the left hand, those that are lost, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And that's going to be it. That's going to be permanent. It's going to be over for you. Any opportunity to be saved will be past. It'll be past. That'll be an everlasting farewell. I'd like for us to have a song. If you're here today and you're not prepared, if you're here and you're not saved, I want to encourage you to come seeking the Lord. Seek him with all that's in you. Seek him to know. Seek him to know his favor. Seek him to know his salvation. that you might be able to have hope in death, that you might be able to know that, you know, the worst thing, listen, lost friend, I want you to understand this, the worst thing about dying lost is not that you'll be separated from us, not that you'll be eternally separated from the church, not that you'll be eternally separated from those that have tried to reach out to you about your soul, but that you'll be eternally separated from God, from His love and from His mercy. It'll never be offered to you again. That's the serious part of it. So let's stand and let's sing and let's follow the Lord. And, you know, church, this, you know, we tell the lost all the time, well, this may be your last opportunity to seek the Lord. Well, that's true. Well, this may be your last opportunity to reach out to somebody. And so let's follow the Lord today while we stand and sing.